The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, May 27th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. And once again, I'm your host, I'm C.A. Nuri. And today we shall be talking about the way forward. We shall be talking about big ideas, how we can make Bohemian history, Bohemian monuments, Bohemian landmarks, Bohemian sights, scenes, views, a monetary asset for the country. Well, today I supposed to have a guest, and he just called me and said that he's running a few minutes late, so I'm waiting on him. And that'll be no other than Dion Sims, right, who is a tour and programs coordinator at the AMMC, which is Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation, right? And he has been very instrumental in the Living History Program Festival. So this is what my agenda is today. How can we make our forts and our historical sites a monetary thing, a cultural thing that we as Bohemians are immersed and a part of our daily living? I know Dion Sims has some ideas about it, some big ideas, and I want to flesh some of those things out. I find that people in the Bahamas are not familiar with the rich history that we have in the Bahamas. For instance, there is a Pirates show, and the name escapes me, Pirates of the Caribbean, Black Sails. Black Sails is, the setting is in historical New Providence, or historical Nassau, where they have Fort Nassau being mentioned. And that Fort Nassau, and a few people know that Fort Nassau is at the site where the British Colonial Hotel is, right? It has been destroyed by fire when the pirates come. And I'll talk about that, and destroyed Nassau several times, right? That in this series, Black Sail, they intimately mention Bohemian names, surnames. They intimately mention Bohemian governors. They tell a story of old, which I think we in the Bahamas can market, right? They tell a tale about Harbor Island being basically the capital of the Bahamas before it moved to Providence Island. They tell a tale about pirates like Blackbeard being the governor of the Bahamas. They tell a tale about the proprietary government and their system. And I think that there are guests and Bohemians alike who would be interested in knowing about this. When I was younger, when I say younger, I'm talking about 10, 11 years old, there was a place called Lost World. Lost World was located on Market Street, where the burnt out city market building is right now. This particular ground was a shortcut used by the people in the area, the kids in the area, that took us from Market Street across from C.R. Walker, or at that time was Timothy Gibson Primary School and T.A. Thompson Primary School, and it led us to the post office as a shortcut. And I remember at this instant, whilst I was taking the shortcut with my friends, right, we came across a cave system that had stairs, right? And when we went down these stairs, and I was scary. I was a scary black boy then. I wasn't brave like the other kids. And when I went down these stairs, there were what I call statues, old statues. And I remember one of my friends, my friend was Casey Muzier. He came out with a sword, a old pirate sword. And this cave system had a number of artifacts, which I, you know, I thought that someone just stored them there. But as I become man, I realized that these artifacts are replicas or remnants of a bygone time in the Bahamas. And I'm asking, do you know that once upon a time, there was a series of caves, tunnels, that connect the Government House to Grey Cliff, to parts of Bay Street, to the Fort Charlotte area, that you can take tunnels that ran for miles. Recently, when I say recently, about a month or two ago, I went by Grey Cliff, right? And I decided to go in their parking lot, which is across the street, right? And Grey Cliff is doing an awesome job with all of those theme parks they have there, right? And Behemoths need to go and check that out to see what all they're offering now. And I went across the street in that lowered section, and I realized that there exists an entrance to a cave, to a tunnel, right? Parts of it is sealed. And I'm wondering, what is that? And a part of my investigation, I went over to Grey Cliff to speak. They said, yes, that part is where they sealed off their wine cellar, right? And that once upon a time, their wine cellar where they have all the expensive wines, their tunnel that connected from Government House and various other places connected all the way to the Fort Charlotte area. And that's what I'm going to talk about today when Dion Sims comes on. And the reason why we're going to bring all this up is because the AMMC is about to have their premiere festival on June 4th, where they will encompass the history of the forts, along with having a family activity. And Dion Sims is a part of that. And he's going to explain how that's going to happen. I see you, caller, and give me a few moments, and I'll be happy to take your call so we can speak about what is the possibilities. What are the possibilities of how we in the Bahamas can make money? And I want persons who know about these caves, who know about these tunnel systems, to call in and to tell their story, and also to give us some ideas on what exactly can Bahamians do to make money from these historical monuments, right? Oh, I see Dion there. Dion, come right inside and come and introduce yourself. Close the door there, please. And I also quickened to speak about the water tower on by Fort Finn Castle, and how that too isn't being used. And I'm gonna prick Dion as much as I can, right?
No,
but let me get this caller. Go ahead, Kermit. Let me see what the caller is saying right now. Go ahead, caller. Good morning.
I think, man, it's time you guys get some 2 hours, you know, rather than all them repeats in the evening, you know, try to get some 2 hour shows. At least 1 hour ain't enough, you know. But I want to digress a bit, you know. With the way our government is spending this money on all the things, bring it on. And then I see nothing in it before, only for the rich and the high middle class. You know, like I try to make a contribution earlier about the sportsman. It's time the government spend some money in the inner city on sports and not on these rich kids or these high middle class kids. You understand me?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But let me see how Dion can even help us make money to even assist with that. Dion, welcome to the show. And before you start, I need to understand and appreciate, what is a tour programs coordinator? I know that you work at the AMMC, and I want to just get the persons listening to understand, what do you do? And we can run straight into this festival that's happening on June 4th.
Okay, my name is Dion Sims. I work for the Antiquities, Monuments, and Museum Corporation, a.k.a. the AMMC, and I am the tour program and programs coordinator. And what I do is actually sit behind the scene and conceptualize tours and then send them on to the tour guides and whatnot and oversee the whole interaction.
So what do you mean by conceptualized tours?
Well, you know, we get an idea, mm-hmm. and we flesh that out. And then once we were to flesh that out, once it's a feasible idea, then we move ahead with it.
Okay, let me go straight into this festival on June 4th. Mm-hmm. I assume that this one of the ideas, or perhaps you were on that team who came up with this idea.
This is a team effort. Mm-hmm. The Special Events Committee, chaired by Namiko Hall-Miller. And what we are doing is that we're trying to bring a number of signature events to our sites, not only Fort Charlotte, but Fort Charlotte just happened to be the first one,
mm-hmm.
right? And what it is it's just us saying to the community, hey, we exist.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have. Come out here so that next time you'll be able to find it.
Okay. And will the history of the fort be intimately involved in this particular festival?
Not particularly. But we will have a booth out there,
mm-hmm.
With representatives from the AMMC who will be able to field those types of questions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know before you became a coordinator, you also did tours.
Yes.
I remember going to Fort Charlotte and you taking me on a tour. I went to, what the last place you were stationed?
I was at Balcony House.
Balcony House, and you taking me on a tour. So I just let the people know that I know you intimately, and you took me on a few tours. I'm one of the few behemoths who go there and say, man, teach me everything.
Yeah, well,
and one reason why I brought it up, right? Mm-hmm. I know the Fort Charlotte particularly and intimately has a tunnel system. And briefly explain, what do you know about this tunnel system people talk about?
Now, let's qualify the tunnel system.
Go ahead.
Okay, the rumor was, now bear in mind, like you know today, somebody could put anything up on the internet and say that's true.
Yes.
And then you could just go to another site and disprove that just like that.
Yes.
If you take the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so imagine back in the day when there wasn't any internet.
Okay.
And somebody goes and says, hey, you know, there's a tunnel system that connects all the forts together along the government house.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't exist.
But when I was, like I said, I was telling the story when I was 10, 11. There are tunnels in fort?
Yes. There's a tunnel that goes, the fort, Fort Charlotte is actually three forts in one.
Yes, we can talk about that shortly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had Fort Charlotte proper, and then they put on Stanley
and Darcy.
Now, when you're putting on more guns, you need more ammo.
Okay.
So they put in a battery on the side of Fort Stanley called Fort Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a tunnel system that goes from Fort Stanley to Fort Darcy.
Okay.
Then also, back when they first did the fort, and it was only Fort Charlotte proper,
mm-hmm.
you know, we used to see in that bridge there. But imagine now where that bridge is. That was the end of the fort,
mm-hmm.
right? And the entry to the fort was to the east.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drive like where the security boot is, and then you go around the curve, and
yes.
you get to the fort. That was the entry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, if you paid attention, when you go around that curve, straight ahead, you see a wall, and there's some rectangular slits cut into the wall.
Yes, I thought it was air pipes or some sort.
No, those are actually slits to put rifles through.
Ah.
Because that was the lookout point. And there's a tunnel that leads from the fort nearby the old guardhouse
uh-huh.
that actually goes down and under the moat to that tunnel.
Nice.
To that section.
So are you familiar with Greycliff and their wine cellar?
No, I'm not.
Their wine cellar is said to have been a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they slid it off. And even the government house is said to be built on a series of tunnels.
Well, I know the government house, when I went there, I was like, oh, I want to see this tunnel system. And they was like, no. There's
no tunnel system?
No, so they have an underground storage area down there.
So
probably a cellar as well.
What about at the Ministry of Health? And that corridor, there's a tunnel system there too.
Well, now you got me lost.
See?
I don't know. I know that, you mean on Delancey Street?
No, Delancey Street.
Okay.
So well, you go. It's blocked off by the garbage, but if you go in there, you can walk about maybe a good distance.
I mean,
heading towards something.
There has been talk,
mm-hmm.
because you know that the Bahamas is a part of the saltwater underground.
Yes.
Right? And there has been talk that Samuel Delancey was intricate in that part of it, and that he actually used to have runaways come there.
Interesting.
Right? And then, you know, like whole Meaton Street, Samuel Scriven, Prince Jordan, Prince Williams, mm-hmm. they were also part of the underground system, mm-hmm. being runaways themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing is that there may be tunnel systems that we have not explored.
Okay.
Right? But whether or not they lead to the forts, that is still questionable because there's nothing from the forts going anywhere.
The history,
else.
Yeah. You know? But I see we have another caller on. Caller, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And let's put some questions to Dion Sims.
But I don't want questions.
But I like questions anyway.
No, I don't want questions.
Go ahead, caller. Welcome to Guardian Radio. Okay, we weren't able to get that call here. But let's finish talk with talk about your festival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely on June 4th.
Yes.
Okay. And tell me, what can I expect when I get there?
Well, traditional festival fare. You know, you have your food, your drinks. There's a kids area
mm-hmm.
That has some really cool stuff, including horseback riding,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah, and then Coca-Cola is actually out there promoting their new wines.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
There's things for the adults can do and things
adults
for the kids.
Adults and kids. In fact, you know, you could bring your kids there and drop them off to the kids section, pay like a fee, and there you go.
I see that there's a $5 nominal mm-hmm, yes. entrance fee, which is small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and are you going to be in the lower ground, like where the...
We're going to be right at the front.
In the front.
Right on the grassy okay. area to the front there.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. But let's talk about some of your ideas. And Cole, I do see you, so just give me a few minutes. I hope you're not on a cell phone call. Let's talk about some of your ideas that you have for the AMMC, right? Mm. I know that you are rich with ideas. Every time I see you, you say, but one of these days we can do this and you do that. Give me one or two things that you're fleshing out, projects that you're fleshing out right now.
Well, right now what I'm looking at is trying to get a Surrey tour.
Okay, Surrey tour. That's the awesome.
Or Fort
horseback.
Charlotte, okay. right? So picture this. Right now, those tunnels that we spoke about,
yes,
they are not open to the public.
Okay.
Right? So
is there a reason for that? Or?
Well, you know, when you're doing anything, right? Like there was a VP from Disney who was at a conference for cruise lines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, look, you know, you need to have things that have to be fun. It have to be a show, but it have to be safe, right? And he said, if it's not safe, then forget the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the tunnel system right now, they're not safe because, well...
centuries of... Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, one isn't lit up properly mm-hmm. so people can walk through there. And then there's a very steep staircase in there that has to be adjusted,
mm-hmm.
right? And the other one is one way in and one way out. Which could be a problem.
Yes.
Right? So what we, in order for us to move forward in the way that I would envision, we actually need a strategic partner. So anybody out there with deep pockets and love heritage, please feel free to call us at any time.
I know Life Key always looking for projects, mm-hmm. and especially rich Bohemians, especially those mm-hmm. persons who claim 7th and 8th generation Bohemians.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sure if you come up with an idea that they can bite into
of course.
And be interested in,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can flesh out, I'm sure they're interested to mm-hmm. to invest in that. They're always looking for new projects.
Yeah.
I see a question here. It said, great show. As usual, I have a bone to pick about my tour at Fort Charlotte. I carried my kids to mm-hmm. play bat and ball, and they told me we can't play bat and ball there anymore. And I had to use some unchristian-like words in front of my kids.
Ooh.
So what happened? You can't play bat and ball at the fort anymore?
Well, one of the things about Fort Charlotte was just that, honestly and truly, it was insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, and that was pointed out by an industry expert that, look, if you want people to come here, you have to make it secure.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to secure it. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that no unauthorized entry to the fort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people could understand that. I mean,
I see y'all put fence all over the fort.
Yeah. It's all around the fort.
No, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And plus, the fort needs to make money.
Yeah.
So you can't have everybody... going yeah, to do no, the tours for free.
You have no idea what we've endured over the years. At the back section of the fort, people actually used to drive their cars up the hill,
mm-hmm.
right? Motorcyclists riding up the hill and riding around through the fort and whatnot and everything in the nighttime. It was a real problem. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had people just coming in, walking through taking shortcuts.
Yes.
You know, I remember one time I'm walking the grounds of the fort, and when I look, I see all kind of bank cards and things strewn all over the ground. Somebody knocked over a car at the cricket club and dropped all the stuff right there on the fort ground. You know, so we had to secure the place.
So the area, what is now the new Carnival Grounds, or the Keynes, is that Keynes Oval? Not Keynes Oval.
No, that's Clifford Park.
Clifford Park. Is that a part of AMMC?
No, that's not currently a part of AMMC.
Because I see that's sealed also. That's Beaches and Park.
Okay. And, but the interesting thing about that is that whole front section, all of where Flo is selling our vegetables and fruits and whatnot, the Botanical Gardens, Clifford Park, all that area was a part of the fort.
Was or is?
Was.
So even in terms of the Chipman Place, which is near, right? The old Chipman household and the Botanical Gardens. It is perhaps in the future that we can develop a concept that can encompass all of that.
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. You know, I mean, over the years, some really, really interesting plans have come forth for the development of that area. I remember a while back, somebody had approached us and, well, they had approached us because they were doing some groundwork. They were talking about making that whole area into a park.
Okay.
Right? Independence Park, they were calling it. And let me tell you something impressive, because they wanted to put like overpasses over Bay Street that you walk from the fort straight to the beach.
Nice.
Yeah, you know.
So not wanting to preempt your director, because I know Chris Curry has all kind of new ideas, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that this fair, this inaugural fair that AMMC is doing, and it's going to be on June 4th, and they have so many things happening, and you have so many partners. But what about Fort Finn Castle? What about the 66 Steps? What about the water tower? Are there any things on the drawing board to bring that to the fore?
Yes, sir.
Anything that you can mention then?
Yes, sir. I mean, there's plans to redevelop the water tower. So
I've been hearing that for years. I remember one time they mentioned my father-in-law and say, oh, we can only make my father-in-law, Kenneth Francis, and have this water tower. Nothing.
Only thing what I could tell you with regards to that is that different people have different ways of prioritizing things. Some people prioritize the water tower as a main thing to do, and some people didn't. So, you know, let's say one government said, yeah, we're going to do the water tower. And then the next government comes in and says, you know what? We don't need to spend all that money on the water tower. Now, the interesting thing about the water tower is that years ago, the water tower was the number one visited site.
Yeah.
In the Caribbean.
I remember going up in Water Tower and watching and looking over and saying, wow, you can see all in
that. No, it was gorgeous up to the top there, man.
Then I remember shutting down. That's going on 30-odd years ago.
No, it wasn't that long.
How long do you think it is?
It was from 2004, I think.
2004? I remember it being longer than that. But you said 2004. I will go 2004.
No, because when I was waking up there, I saw a documentation to show that it was 2004.
Okay, good. And what about communities? AMC partner with communities.
That is one of the things that we're looking at, because, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to cordon ourselves off from these communities. And so, you know, Dr. Curry is all behind us forming relationships with these different communities. In fact, we're in the process of putting something together with the Fort Charlotte community.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
And this festival is actually supposed to be a part of that.
Nice.
You know,
because for one, I I'm going to move now, pivot to Fort Finn Castle and their community.
Yeah.
Their community is basically built into the fort.
Yes, sir.
You stand there, you can see on top of people's houses, you can see the little small stairways going on. And I'm saying some of these, I call bohemian houses, these wooden houses, which are now 200-300 years old, can be refurbished.
Yeah, they could.
Right? And surely they can have be small shops and venue house for people who come into the fort and say, okay, let's go down here to buy lemonade and this old clapboard house there. And is there a way for Bohemians to get in contact with AMMC and give their ideas on what they would like to see your corporation doing?
Well, we have you could call us by the phone at 604-6800, 604-6800. That would be the first step.
First step, just calling and saying, I have some ideas.
And, you know, and then you could always email us directly.
Mm-hmm.
And address, I think we have an info at AMMC Bahamas address. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you could email that.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. I have an idea, particularly for Fort Finn Castle area, mm-hmm. that community. Because my wife's people grew up mm-hmm. in that community. And since that's a one-way in and mm-hmm. a one-way out community, yeah. and even the 66 steps or the 65 steps plus one,
mm-hmm.
and the surrounding area
mm-hmm.
is culturally embedded in the history of the fort. I was saying, why don't we make that entire community a tourism spot to stop and participate?
Well, you know how it is. It's easier said than done.
It's
right?
easier said than done.
Yeah, but I mean the idea of making that a more tourist-friendly area, a more visitor-friendly area, is definitely on the board,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it has been for quite some time. The thing about it is that everybody wants to see things, but when it comes time to dip in their pockets,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
yeah. And the thing about it is that what Bahamians need to understand is that the largest, well, and this is based on something I read at least about 4 or 5 years ago, but the largest growing sector in tourism mm-hmm. was heritage tourism.
Yes.
You know, so here it is. With the fort, you have, with all those environs and things around there, you also have ecotourism as well, you
yes.
know, because you have all that bush, especially like around Fort Pin Castle, around Fort Charlotte. You mm-hmm. have all that, right? And the thing about it is that there's so much history in the Bahamas. I'll tell you one obscure fact that a lot of people don't get. Fort Montague.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Montague is the oldest fort.
Yes.
Smallest fort, but the oldest fort. The only one that ever saw any action.
It's older than Fort Nassau?
Yeah. No.
I mean,
no.
So Fort Nassau closed and gone and disappeared.
Yeah, gone.
I mentioned it that it's at the site of the British Colonial Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing, the thing about the action that happened at Fort Montague is that it was the first ever mm-hmm. operation conducted by the U.S. Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Right? Now, here's the thing. A lot of people look at Fort Montague and they don't even realize who it's named after. You know who it's named after?
I don't know.
It's a guy named John Montague, right?
Okay.
And John Montague was the guy who was in charge of ordinances. He was in charge of like buying the ammunition and
uh-huh.
the weapons and everything like that. Here's the fact about John Montague. John Montague was the fourth Earl of Sandwich.
Earl of Sandwich.
And guess what bears his name and we eat it almost every day?
Sandwich?
That's right. He's credited for inventing the sandwich.
Excellent. I see we have a call there. Go ahead, caller. Thanks very much for your patience. We had a technical difficulty just now, but go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Catherine Chisnell. Hi, Dion. Hi, T.A. Nuri.
Hey, how are you, man?
Catherine's good to hear you.
First of all, thank you both for your cultural contributions to our country.
You're most welcome.
Because you both see our history as what it is, which is something that is extraordinarily interesting and marketable and sexy and worth us making money on in the future for ourselves locally.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes the people that see the least in that which is our depth rather than our surface beauty, which is our, you know, blonde beaches and blue-eyed peas,
mm-hmm.
is us. Everyone else is capitalizing us. All of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies got it. As you were talking about earlier, Black Sails got it. They know that we are fascinating, and they're making money off of us. And I love hearing Dion talk because he's so educated when it comes to the wealth of the resources that we have historically. And I'm thrilled to know that AMMC is carrying on the ideas of having a living history fair, having these festivals. As you know, I come from the festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to talk about what big things your family is doing, because your entire family is dedicated to preserving Bahamian history and exploring what happened.
I did my master's in colonial history of the Caribbean. That is so in my new life. I'm hoping... In my new life, as I hit my old birthday this weekend, you could say happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
We can continue to make resources available to our kids so they can see this is not something that is boring. Sometimes you have to pay people to show up to history in museums, in places you go. It's almost like part of the punishment of travel.
Mm-hmm.
But here, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. We have a deep history that is thrilling. And again, like Hollywood gets it. I mean, even I love my Korean dramas. I even watched a Korean drama lately about piracy. I'm like, we need to really dig our teeth into that which made us. I mean, we are here by some kind of divine lottery that through a barbaric history landed us on these shores. But now it's time for us to claim it and to own it and to talk about what is truly us, because we have uniquely crafted a culture through a history that might not have been chosen, but now has to be claimed. Hearing these events come up really just, it thrills me. And I'm fully supportive of it. As you know, I come from the Rum Bahamas background.
Oh, yes.
The new Rum Festival is not us. We don't know who that is. It's not us. If you see that posted on Instagram. But that really sought to integrate itself into the physical history that was for mm-hmm. Charlotte, which is, I mean, as a little kid, I used to run around there barefoot. And to see my kids also do that and sit atop the cannons, I don't know if Disney would approve of that safety. But it was, again, I'm like, wow, it's not optional. It's vital to our survival as a tourist economy, and just to educate our kids and have them have some kind of pride and knowledge and understanding of that which it is to be Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
Without that self-esteem, with us just seeing our areas like that as a dumping ground, basically, or something to be forgotten about and not deserving of the toil of upkeep, we will lose that which is the true wealth of our country, which is our soul, our cultural soul.
That's right.
I just wanted to thank you. I'm excited.
I appreciate
you.
You're most welcome, my dear.
I fully support them with my whole life. I told my husband on my first date I was never leaving the Bahamas. So I'm here to cheer you on, and I will bring my kids out. So thank you both.
Cool.
Thanks. We'll definitely have one family. They have a huge family.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Come out and support you on June 4th.
I know.
Right? We'll come out and smiling, and I believe in having a calendar of festivals throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
I know that is something we've talked about for years. And, you know, my aunt Alexandra Maylis Lynch was, of course, the lead on Rum Bahamas, which, at the depths of even a festival like that, to just put rum on its label, but it talks to so many different elements of our culture.
But of course.
The Bahamian kitchen that Patricia Mikolas put together that went into the hits that we have in our cuisine, because sometimes we say we don't have a cuisine,
mm-hmm.
we don't have a culture. It's not true. It's there, and it's beautiful, and it's delicious.
You better believe it.
And otherwise. So anyway, carry on, man, and call me into the show.
Yeah,
definitely.
One day. I love you both.
You go and mention Alexandra's name, and that automatically caused me start thinking about crack sheep tongue.
Me too.
Crack sheep tongue.
My boy, if you ain't had crack sheep tongue, you ain't serious.
These Greeks cracking everything.
Boy, crack sheep tongue is the business, bro.
Nice talking to you, Catherine.
I'm so thrilled to hear you both. Please carry on. Thank you very much.
I have a text here before the next caller, which is, good morning, sir. An excellent show. Mr. Dion Sims is truly a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. His artistic and cultural suggestions need to be noted. Continued excellence, Mr. Sims. And they have the Bohemian flag. Because people know you. They know of your ideas, and they want to see your ideas come into fruition. But I see we have another caller here. Go ahead there.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
Thank you very much for your patience. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry. Like, hey, the great history is so good this morning. Can't stop listening. I need one hour show.
Yes, I do agree.
Let me tell you something. See, this is why I hate what they did to us in the past. They didn't teach us our history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went straight from Eastern Junior, Eastern Senior, Government High, and the only thing I knew about was Henry VIII and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, Pope and King and Queen and King of France and Germany and everything. And they didn't teach us nothing but Greek.
Yeah.
You know, they rob us.
Yeah.
This ain't no joke, no robbers. They really rob us. And now, you know, listen what Freddie Munnin Sr. said. One time ago, the tourists used to come for the Bahamas sun, sea, sand, and the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come to see the Bahamian people, our smiles, our straw vendors and everything. Freddie Munnin Sr. said the politicians came in and took everything from the Bahamians and centered everything on the politicians. And that's all we want to talk about every day on radio, politics, politicians, this minister, this, that minister, that, what this one teach, what that one do, every day, all year. You know, we also have a gun battery on Portiskey Dock.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, we also have black bears tavern up on Eastern Road.
So they say, yes, sir.
You know, we also have a fort on the eastern end of the island called Fort Vinton.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I remember when they rediscovered
the bush. Mm-hmm. Do you know that some rich white people, they had cannons up there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up to Vinton. You know, some rich, they said, they saw one truck going up there with one.
That's right.
Then they left.
That's right. That's right.
They stole the.
Okay, you see, when you start accusing people,
you're no, well, you know, the thing about it is I remember that story about how somebody found the Fort Winton, and instead of like bringing in the authorities, they decided to try and cash in on it.
And the truth is, it was on their land. They buy the land, and the fort actually happened to be on the land they bought, and that's a different thing. But I noticed that you mentioned United States having when they invaded the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. In fact, the United States invaded the Bahamas twice in 1776, I think, and a couple of years afterwards, especially after their War of Independence, and they considered the Bahamas a threat. And they even occupied the Bahamas briefly.
Yeah, I think that was like about 3 days. But the Spanish was longer. Was like for a year.
And I remember you saying that Fort Monocue is the only one who saw action. I remember shooting the cannons, and that because it had no activity, all the cannons cracked up and it was destroyed briefly, and because of the operation. And I don't forget that even the Spanish invaded the Bahamas at one point.
For
definitely a period of time.
Yeah, for a year.
Right?
They
and all of that is a part of our history to know that we were, in quotes, part of the United States for a brief moment, invaded twice. Part of Spain for a brief moment, they occupied the Bahamas.
Well, you know, Spain
until
was,
we had Colonel Andrew DeVoe come in here and say, man, we got to get the Bahamas back.
Yeah, well, the jokey thing about Andrew DeVoe is that Andrew DeVoe came in, but what he didn't know was that peace had already been reached.
Ah, the sign
and
the treaty.
Spanish was getting ready to
leave anyway.
Leave anyway. So,
yeah. Can you imagine?
Know. So he came in and he, you know.
But I salute him still for trying to defend the Bahamas. We have another caller there. Go ahead there, caller. Thanks very much for your patience, by the way. Go ahead, caller.
In the beginning when you started this morning, you were talking about Lost World.
Yes, Lost World.
Now, I don't know if you remember that. To the front of that, it was a restaurant and elite motel.
Yes.
With the pool and all that. Well, okay, my father used to run that.
Oh, nice.
And, I catch a lot of boys in the pool, especially, and we had all the weddings to the back and all of that. But I'm calling to say this. When that was sold or taken over, I really don't, I was too young to know what really transpired between him and the people he was running that for. He kept a painting from in there, and I have it. I don't know, I don't understand it, I don't know that. I haven't looked at it in about 10 years, and I have it in my front room just behind a chair.
Surely there's some value for that.
And I'm glad when you brought him on, and he's in antiquities, I said, now this gentleman, you could probably tell me something about this painting.
Well, maybe not, but I'll tell you this much. If you have something like that, you could bring it on in, and we'll if we don't have anybody to deal with it, we'll definitely point you in the right direction.
Okay, well, I'd like to get his name and number so I could call him one day when I have some time.
Dion, give your number.
All right, call 604-6800.
Do it again.
604-6800.
And ask for who?
And well, you could ask for me, and then I'll forward you on to whoever could assist you with that.
What was your name again?
Dion Sims.
Okay.
Thank you very much, caller.
Okay.
Dion, and I remember mentioned Lost World, and I remember the same incident coming across a brass sculpture. It was flat, and it had the picture of, it had a coat of arms on it, and it had yellow elders carved into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember it because I remember my friend, you know, when you have bigger friends, they take things from the younger boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at it, I said, this look old, right? It was in the dirt inside a same cave system that I said we came about, and he took it out. Right, and say, oh, we can clean it up. I remember him washing it, vividly washing it and becoming nice. And I'm thinking now, 30-odd years later, that could have been some kind of big rich of Bohemian history artifact,
of course.
I think. And I wonder what all lingers there.
Well, the thing about it is that I remember when I was doing a geography course, we had to make up a map showing different things in the Bahamas. So we had to choose something to show. And since I was always history-minded, what my map showed was our bulldozer archaeology is what I call it, where things weren't discovered until development started, right? And that's what we have here is that we have more bulldozer archaeology. Even though we have qualified archaeologists, the thing about it is that it's about getting the funding to the people that need it so that they could spend their time
doing what it is, the work it is that they need to do. And that's what the AMMC has a great challenge with, is that we need to get that funding. Not you know, we get fund subvention from the government, but let's be honest, the amount of work that we have to do is not nearly enough, you know. And the reason why it's not nearly enough, I could only speculate, is because heritage is one of those things that is below so many other pressing issues.
Excellent. And before I go to the next call, and I see you, caller, I said, morning, Nuri. I'm a taxi driver. Why is the Fort Charlotte not open for visitors yet? Their staff is being paid. Oh, no, I'm going to talk about the staff. But why are you all in open yet, the Fort?
Well, we haven't been cleared.
You haven't been cleared?
We have some maintenance
issues. It's the Ministry of Health.
Well, Ministry of Works has some work to do down there at present. And our team also has some stuff that we have to do. But we could only move as fast as the speed of government.
Okay. And this person asking, where can they get some crack sheep tongue?
Boy, check Alexandria.
Yeah.
Brother, check Alexandria.
And few people, not so few people, Bahamians need to also appreciate that crack conk originated from her grandfather.
Okay.
Or father. But the idea that it originated from her family. Mm-hmm. They were the first persons who invented that or brought that to the Bahamas.
Let me tell you something. That crack sheep tongue, that's sin, bro.
Okay. I see we have another caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, man.
Good morning to your guest.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, this is a great show, Mr. Nuri. A wealth of knowledge here. I think if him and Dr. Chris Curry come on together, this station might catch a fire. But I like what I'm hearing because, you know, I frequent the 66 steps trying to stay young like y'all, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know about the lost world, you know, a lot of things going on there, because I went to St. John's, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to talk about the rich. You know, to hate the rich, because what I realize is the rich people, they network together. And so me talking about them, they're not going to be less rich. So this public-private partnership is great. And so I wanted to ask Mr. Sims a question because, you know, I've never been in the tower, but I always jogging around and always in the area. It'd be good if they could put a restaurant up there because or wherever.
Oh, my brother, you speak in my language.
That's a breathtaking view, man.
You are speaking my language, yeah. Sir.
And I wanted to know why is it that the waterfall stopped working for a couple of months now. I'd mentioned it about a couple of weeks ago that the waterfall stopped working.
Yeah, we are quite aware of that.
Et cetera. We
are quite aware of that. That falls under the Ministry of Works. And,
too because of the pathogens in the water. But I wanted to touch on the fact that I broke a chain of thought, but I was trying to remember what I read something. The thing is, what you're doing is great because we can sit and complain and talk about our colonial past, and some of us will have colonial stained brains. But it would be great if we could do what you're suggesting, come into existence, and we can make money from this, seeing that they already made money from us. Let's have some reciprocity here, man. Bless them. Keep it up, Nuri.
Amen. Blessings to you. I see at the 66 step bottom a pop-up shop.
Oh, that, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like on a Friday or Saturday, that entire area is lit up with colorful lights.
Listen.
Where behemoths can walk there and experience different pop-up events and trinkets and
Lurie,
food
all I can
and
tell you
culture
is
and conch salad and conch fritters.
You know, you's my boy and everything, right? But stay out of my brain, please.
I was running all kind of people's brain, man. Just possess people. But I see we have another caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Lurie.
Go ahead.
Where's that?
Raise your man.
Oh,
you said Skillaboo.
Remember me?
Yeah, man, that's Mason's.
Right, exactly. And I come to help you with Tingham, the Fort St. Castle.
Go ahead.
I come to help you with that. I was an explorer and I was a tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see how you were talking about the tunnel, right?
Yes.
The tunnel only goes from the Fort Charlotte to the government house.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnel goes from the Fort Charlotte right out west by the cave. And from Port St. Castle, it used to go straight out to Montague. Now, what happened by Port St. Castle? You see down where the Queen's Staircase there?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't like that one time. That was one solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
It took 600 slaves to carve that out.
Mm-hmm.
It took them 18 years. Now, what happened is, when they carved that out, we used to go down in the tunnel then. If you look to the bottom of the Queen's Staircase, you'll see a sea loft.
Yeah, I see a sea loft.
Right. That's where we used to go in there, and we used to go like way downtown.
Okay.
That take you out to the waterfront. That take you straight out to the government house. That carry you straight out to the Fort Charlotte. That carry you straight out west by the cave.
That's how deep that is. That ain't no place to play. Now, concerning the water tower, Slimmer Man, no Dion, has been shut down before 2004. Water tower was in functioning for a little while, like you see.
For a while, eh?
It was in functioning for a while. I was a tall guy around there.
Yeah, well, 2004 is like, what, 18 years ago? No, man, bro, you hear what I say?
I was stationed
up by Fort Charlotte.
The only thing was functioning up there was the fort, the Queen's Staircase.
The elevator wasn't working in the water tower, the elevator wasn't working. And see, the reason why I could tell you that it closed down in 2004 was because when I was stationed up there as a supervisor up there, I made it a point to get acquainted with the water tower. In fact, I went in the water tower several times because I had to escort people from IRCA in there because they have some antennas up there, right? And the documentation, what I saw in the water tower, concerned daily sales. And the last time daily sales were recorded in there was in 2004. So that's where I'm getting my information from, right?
Thank you very much, caller. Go ahead.
I want to address that piece would close in on the thing. See, now, I could tell him that piece would close in was a no tunnel. I could tell him that, right?
Go ahead.
But he may not believe me.
I understand.
So what I'm going to do is anybody that thinks that was an entrance to the tunnel, I invite them to go online, go to Vintage Bahama Photos, and look up Fort Charlotte and the Queen's Staircase, Fort Fincastle and the Queen's Staircase, and you will see pictures from hundreds of years ago with that piece closed off
but
as solid rock.
Dion, there's definitely a narrative or old story about tunnels underneath the city of Nassau.
Understand this, my friend. Like I explained to you earlier. See, there was a guy named J.D. Poole. Now, J.D. Poole was a stipendary magistrate, right? This is a dude with big timing. And when he wrote about different things, it stuck, right? Like, people think that the carving out of the canyon coincides with the development of the 66 steps. Not so.
Two different times.
The reason being is that whole carving out of the canyon, that was a quarry for them to get blocks from to build different things, like the different hotels and whatnot and everything like that. If you look around that whole area, you'll see where stone was carved up to the top of the, like, you know where Johnson's is?
Yes.
So when you go into Johnson's yard, you see where they cut the rock there, right? If you go and you come around the curve on Church Street before you get to that little corner, you'll see where they had like some cars and motorcycles and things there for rent. You'll see that also was carved in. So what you had was that you had solid rock all around there. They used that to build different buildings, like the public buildings and everything like that. The staircase didn't come until later. In fact, the staircase came long before, we can't stress this enough. Like, people call it the Queen's Staircase and they think it had something to do with Queen Victoria. It didn't. The only reason why it was named the Queen's Staircase was because when you had anything like a highway or road or a staircase and it didn't have a name, you called it the King or the Queen. You know, like how we say the government road.
Yes.
Right? And you know, like how you see all these islands with King's Highway and Queen's Highway. That's because they had no name. So that name stuck. Right? So that was called the Queen's Staircase. The street, which is now, what is that? That's Victoria Avenue? No, that's Elizabeth Avenue. What comes into the Dingham. That was called Union Street.
Yeah, let's change the name.
And that staircase was simply known by the locals as the staircase at the end of Union Street.
Good. I see I have another caller there. Go ahead, caller. They hang up. I'm sorry that took so long, but I may have another one. I'm trying to get everyone on.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and your guest. Now, this is a very true story, right? Those houses are the eastern end of PI, right? Now, I know somebody who worked for the man who owned one of them houses. And they had told me that their boss gave them a bag of gold to keep. And they're big house in the States. And they had it for like 5 years in the closet. And he had forgotten about it. But anyhow, he gave it back to him. Now, when the government, when the cruise board bought the land on that house property, is a gunpowder cave.
Nice.
So I was wondering, where did that bag of gold come from? The house was burned down. Only left they said was a pool and a gunpowder cave from the pirates' days. Don't you think, like, that'd be the perfect place to hide the money before you reach to the main line? Is the whole PI strip? I would figure out many people got rich off treasures around here. Don't you all think so?
Yeah, of course.
Plenty people.
Of course. I mean,
where did he get a bag of gold from to give them to keep? Not knowing he found a gunpowder cave on that paradise strip that the cruise port just bought. Plenty caves around there. If you look on the whole strip, that's where the pirates would have hide the gunpowder, the money, before they come to the fort.
Well, more than likely, what he found might have been a remnant of the battery. Because there used to be a battery on Paradise Island.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like how they have a battery on Porter Ski Dog, there's a battery on Paradise Island. Right? So, So more than likely, that's what he found. Because, don't forget, for a long time, Paradise Island was not connected to New Providence.
The Hog Island place, you catch a boat.
Yeah, you had to catch a boat over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody was going over there.
Good. Right? But before we go, and I know we have a few more minutes, what is the Living History Program Festival? I know you were a part of that. What is that exactly?
The Living History Program?
I know you were a part of some kind of committee to do...
It's a special events committee.
Okay, explain that to me.
What we're doing is that we are trying to put together a calendar of events.
Calendar events.
Throughout the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
When you say we mean who?
The team. The special events committee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these events are going to focus on various sites and various dates. We're still pretty much getting organized, but we wanted to get an event that would bring a whole lot of people into the space so that they could start enjoying it and getting a feel for it.
And you say space, you mean the various spaces or just Fort
Charlotte? Just Fort Charlotte for now. Of course, we're going to be moving to other spaces, right? No, man, there are tons of things that we could do, but there's one thing that I want to say to anybody listening. I want you to understand something. Think of the Bahamas tourist industry as a huge pizza pie, like one of those big pizzas which you get from New York, right? And I want you to understand what we're utilizing in terms of the tourist industry is equivalent to one slice of pepperoni on that pie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right here struggling with this pepperoni, acting like this is the whole pie.
Yes.
It is not. Mm-hmm. So you have these various ideas that come from different people. We have all of these historic pockets. We have so many things. And the thing is that we have so many neighbors that have been showing us the way for years.
Yes, that we could follow suit and make money for the Bahamas.
Let me tell you something. If you ever went to Cuba, right, and you go to Cuba, one of the things what I always remember about Cuba is John Lennon Park. Now, John Lennon was a British pop star.
Yes.
Remember the Beatles?
Mm-hmm.
They have a picture of late 70s, early 80s, John Lennon in his last days. They have a sculpture of him sitting on a bench in that park.
And we forget that we had a king who was governor of the Bahamas.
No, but see now. Yeah,
we can capitalize on that, surely.
No, but see, let me ask you something. I point that out because here it is. The Beatles did a whole movie here.
Mm-hmm.
On this island. And we don't have nothing in the market.
In the Bahamas?
Yes.
They had a Beatles movie.
It's called Help.
Oh. Right? Help?
Yeah.
I need someone
and
to
when
help.
You watch it, they were like in England and then they came to the Bahamas and a lot of shenanigans happened. They even had police in this movie and everything like that. Mm. And they visited Fort Charlotte. And the rumor is, and see, we can't substantiate it, but the rumor is that while they visited Fort Charlotte, they went into that local point what I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And they actually followed suit and wrote their names on the wall.
Ah.
Right? So you have stories like this one. Like, if you went to Cuba, Cuba would capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
We are not capitalizing on these things. Let me tell you you saw me at Balcony House.
Yes.
And I hate to use up your time, but I feel it is important that people understand this. Right? There was a guy who's writing a series of books called On the Trail of 007.
Okay.
And he did books on the various locales where James Bond movies were shot. And he's now doing one on the Bahamas.
Wow.
Right? And that history is here. And here's this man coming here and digging up all this stuff. What we had, what we took for granted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But that's our time. I enjoyed the show today. I got to invite you back. But yeah, we have the news now. Sure. We do definitely have the news. Thank you for listening to Guardian Radio in the AM.